Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
November last year, someone at Restore Plastic Surgery in Gulf Breeze called 911.
A 32-year-old female was undergoing a procedure for a lipo fat transfer.
The Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office confirms that woman was Hillary Brown. Sheriff Bob Johnson says she was undergoing several surgeries at the same time. The surgeon was her husband, Dr. Ben Brown.
He's performing surgery on his wife, which is, you know, it's not a violation of Florida law, but it's still, the medical association looks down on that.
Yeah, Sheriff Johnson there, as you heard the clip talking to Shade Ray of Channel 3 and their good report from last night. He, as you heard David Wayne reporting, he had submitted himself to be arrested and then is out on bond now, $50,000 in connection with the charges surrounding the death of his wife when he was operating, or as a result of when he was operating on her. And, you know, you kind of heard the clip, but I kind of put it in context a little bit of, you know, what happened, right? The lidocaine ran out, apparently.
One IV bag, and he ran out of it and then mixed some other stuff in a bowl and then pulled it out with a syringe and then injected her with it.
Yeah, which I genuinely don't know enough about standard medical practice to know how far afield or not that is to, I don't know, whip up a homebrew of whatever it was, but it doesn't sound like the kind of thing you would expect to take place in a doctor's office normally. But again, certainly outside of my area of expertise, but she was having a bad reaction to whatever was going on, puffy face, blurry vision, kept going with the procedure.
Then she began to seize, and then the real problem was she began to seize, and then the nurses in the room wanted to call 911, and he said, no, we'll handle it, and obviously they did not handle it, and she ended up passing away.
Yeah, and there was some period of time in there before 911 had gotten called, so sort of, you put all of that together, and I know a lot of people have been speculating in a bunch of different directions. I'm not going to do that. What I am going to say is I'd certainly recognize that this case was difficult for the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office investigators to prosecute and to compile, even because, you know, they're not doctors. And so it's hard to, you know, it's hard to know what is and is not even the right question to ask about whether, because you don't even know which parts of what went on might be standard, not standard, in or outside of normal medical procedure, right?
I mean, you know, our detectives are trained in a lot of things, but medical practices they're not trained in. So not only did they have to get the probable cause together, they had to present that not only to the state attorney, but also to a physician like Dr. Oleski at the medical examiner and say, is this common practice? Is this normal? Is this not normal?
And, you know, even so, and all the things that she would know may or may not exactly cover this particular slice of medicine. So, yeah, very complicated thing. Now, I mentioned last hour that I'm the beneficiary of a little bit of procrastination. The WSRE legislative review that took place last week, I'm still working my way through. I will get stuff on the air eventually when I can. But sometimes you hear me get to a council meeting or a commission meeting, maybe even as much as a week or a week and a half later, just because I figure it's worth covering and if it's interesting. And in this case, I sat down because I had a few extra minutes before I was coming into work to get ready. And this is one of my, like, finish it one of these days, Andrew. Okay. It turns out that I had managed to stop right at the portion where they were talking about this case, but this is a week ago. Okay, so this is before the news, before the arrest, before the charges. This is a week ago. And here's what, and actually very interesting stuff that was said by Michelle Salzman, Alex Andrade, and particularly by Joel Rubman about this incident. So we'll come to that in just a second. Before that, John Pickens has got our traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Not seeing any accidents to let you know about right now. But if you're traveling on Highway 90 headed southbound, from Pace to Pensacola, you're going to see some delays in that construction zone area. Other than that, things are looking good. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So, you know, Jeff Weeks, WSRE, brought this up with the panel of elected legislators and, you know, asked them the question about this case with Ben Brown.
Basically, I think the two of you have kind of brought up the idea of maybe there should be some restrictions on, you know, what a surgeon, who they can operate on as far as family members. You want to elaborate on that a bit?
I think there's a lot of things that have room for improvement, and that particular situation has brought to light many things. One thing I find most interesting is the fact that he could operate on a family member, that he could self-insure while operating, and then that he had these victims, because they were patients, but I think they were victims, sign arbitration agreements in the middle of signing the HIPAA agreements in the office, something that the Supreme Court had ruled to be illegal in Florida, and the Florida Medical Association didn't even know that there was a workaround to this operation that the doctor was doing. So making arbitration agreements illegal altogether, just by law, by statute, not by Supreme Court ruling, I think is important. Should you be able to self-insure if you're doing surgeries in your office? That's something I'm working with the FMA on, trying to create a balance there. And then, of course, the operating on a family member. There's so many pieces of that have been brought to light.
Yeah, it sounds like every part of this was weird stuff. It's according to her.
Representative Posada Cabrera had a bill that made it provided more fines for people doing in-office butt implant surgeries. I mean, the most bizarre things that are happening, but they're doing it because they know that they can get away with it because it's just a tiny fine. So we're trying to find a balance there. How do you create something that provides more enough consequences to stop this bad behavior without interrupting the market and creating an issue for the physicians that are trying to provide services?
Yeah, I mean, if the fine associated with, for example, a Brazilian butt lift being done inappropriately is very, very small, then it's literally just a smack on the butt. It's, you know, and it's not going to stop somebody from going forward with it, right? So what else can we do? Well, as you heard her say, there were a lot of different approaches. Alex Andrade, for his part.
My only involvement really has been the victim's father, Marty Ellington, gave me a call. He was frustrated with some things going on at the state about 2 months ago, and we talked for a while, and he brought up the fact that the American Medical Association is already recommending that there be regulations in the state of Florida about the operation on family members, especially in these contexts. And that was something, as a layperson, I thought was already on the books. Mm-hmm. So that was the easiest commitment I could have made.
And remember, he's a lawyer, right? So he's a legislator, he's a city attorney, he's a lawyer by trade. And so he says he's a layman, but he's a very well-educated layman. And even he thought already, gosh, this is certainly, it's illegal to operate on your family member. No, apparently not. And so that's something that he said he promised the relative that he would push for. And then this was particularly, I was not expecting this exactly, but Joel Rudman, a District 3 state representative, had very pointed words about this case.
Since you're a physician, do you want to comment?
Then, well, and I do appreciate that, because I do think your viewers need to understand. So we're talking about a bad doctor here, you know, and I can say that because as a physician who's practiced in Florida since 1997, you know, I've got a spotless medical license that I've held for 27, 28 years.
So Dr. Joel Rudman says, he minces no words about this case.
When you talk about a physician that operates on a family member in the kind of situation that my colleagues are discussing, this is unethical. This is immoral. This goes against the Hippocratic Oath that's on the wall of my office. So again, sometimes we do have to kind of temper things, because we all have a colleague in the Florida House. Her favorite saying is, sometimes bad news leads to bad law. So we have to be careful that we're not hurting the good doctors in the community because of the actions of a couple bad apples. But I can make you and I can make my colleagues this promise right here tonight. We are not going to protect bad doctors in the state of Florida. We're just not going to do it.
So obviously somebody whose profession gives him a significant level of perspective on the case, what he wants to do about the case in order to prevent other cases like this from happening. But as I say, you know, I'm always surprised pleasantly when people are really forthright, that are experts in an area, And, you know, here you have another doctor very clearly giving an opinion about this work being inappropriate, you know, that he says Ben Brown's a bad doctor. And, you know, I'm in no position to evaluate this one way or another other than just, you know, sort of what it seems like as a civilian on the outside looking in. 620 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, trying to decide where to go and whether even it's time, you know, stop by Frontier Motors. Here's one thing you can do. Nobody likes buying a used car. Nobody likes buying a car, okay? But you particularly don't like buying cars because why? You know, they're expensive. It's a big change. You feel overwhelmed. There's a lot of choices. You feel like somebody's going to wind up taking advantage of you because you didn't realize. I mean, I understand. Okay, so Frontier's goal is, they know that, and then they tried to make car buying a process that's as little like that as possible. And even on silly little things, like when you go to the Frontier lot and there's 300 cars there, they're all open. You don't have to ask permission to get inside. You have to, like, there's no gatekeeper for you to sit in the car. Now, before you have a key, okay, sure, you got to at least ask for it, but you can sit in several, drive several. And I recommend, almost think of it almost like, I know it's a little weird, but think of it almost like it's a date. Hey, let's go drive some cars. You know, and just learn what's out there, because part of the problem with hating the car buying process so much is this massive knowledge gap between where you are and what you need to know to make a good decision, and feeling like you can't get there easily, and then, you know, plus all of the other stuff. I don't know, just go see. And you know what you may decide? You may, now is not the right time. Or, boy, these are more expensive than I thought they would be. Or you might just like, I kind of like this. This is better than what I got. I can afford that. Let's talk. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. My point is that Frontier is the best place to start to find out so that you can make a good adult decision. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
When the open road or off-road calls, the 2024 Subaru Forester answers. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The impressive off-road capability of the Forester Wilderness starts with its dependable symmetrical all-wheel drive. It optimizes power distribution between the wheels to deliver maximum traction on challenging trails or in slippery weather conditions. Pair that with 9.2 inches of ground clearance and standard Yokohama Geolander AT all-terrain tires, and you'll feel free to explore even farther down the trail. Plus, the Forester Wilderness comes with a full-size spare, a rare sight these days. The Forester Wilderness makes it easy to load up for adventure with an extra-wide rear gate opening and 60-40 split fold-down rear seat. And its interior protective material stands up to wear and tear from all that gear, passengers, and pets. The Forester Wilderness is built for your boldest adventures. Find yours at Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Can going to the shooting range relieve stress and anxiety?
Many Americans are starting to see the health benefits of spending time at the shooting range. Shooting increases mental capacity, boosts confidence, spikes adrenaline, and improves balance. Stop by Jim's Firearms and pick up all you need to head to the range. Jim's Firearms always encourages you to get out and shoot and know your firearm. Jim's Firearms at the corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento, near the back gate of NAS. Online at jimsfirearms.net.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Grab your blanket or lawn chair and get ready to relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's Float Like a Buffalo Band, playing rock with funk, ska, reggae, and jam influences to make a unique sound that's impossible not to dance to. Catch it all this Tuesday night at 7 with Bands on the Beach. Just remember, no pets or class allowed.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, don't push me. Push a push pop.
Take come by the head. I wanna go faster than you ever had. According to master plans you never set. Avoiding disaster, feelings in your head. I wanna go faster, hold me by the head. And this is the best you can.
You gotta let it get to the payoff.
I wanna go faster, round and round again. And never go back, your hand is now the wind. It always is faster, make me understand. Explain all the extra.
Oh, yeah. All right, 6:25 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about, but we're still seeing those delays on North Palafox Street going north and southbound right around Jordan Street and just north of that, so be careful with that. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Biden is expected to unveil an executive action later today granting temporary amnesty for hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants. Reports say the White House is set to launch what they're calling a parole in place program, which is for immigrant spouses of U.S. citizens. That plan would protect them from deportation, grant a work permit, and could eventually be a pathway to citizenship. A wildfire north of Los Angeles continues to rage. Over 1,000 firefighters are on scene fighting that. The post-fire, it started on Saturday. It's already over 1,500 acres and has forced 1,200 people to evacuate and destroyed several structures as well. And a woman's $3 thrift store find is now on its way back to Mexico. It was found to be a priceless Mayan artifact. Ann Dozier, she found a vase at a thrift store in Maryland about 5 years ago, bought it thinking it was just a reproduction piece, but later found out that it was a ceremonial urn used by the Mayans more than 1,000 years ago.
This is like the best terrible story, because you spend $3 on right. this thing and you discover that it's this amazing piece of history, priceless, as you said, and then you discover that you don't get to keep it. Or sell it.
Oh, or get your $3 back.
Or get your, yeah. Oh, dang. All I got is a great story and maybe a post on Instagram. Dang it. So close.
A post that now has warning labels
That's
on
right.
it.
That's right. Warning. This platform may harm you. David, thanks so much for the update, which, by the way, I support. I agree with Vivek Murthy about the social media platforms. We make fun, but I still do agree. So yesterday we were talking a lot about these terrible elections rules that allowed the manipulation of the process to disenfranchise boatloads of voters all over the state of Florida. In our counties, it's largely Democrats and no party affiliate voters that get disenfranchised. And also because of the win plurality versus win majority, you wind up getting people in office who don't even have a majority support. So all kinds of problems. And this process gets manipulated by these candidates. Okay, so we're talking about that and how Jesse Casey, who had run against Jeff Bergosh in the past for District 1 County Commission and had been his chief of staff or aide or, you know, whatever term you want to use, had worked for him, which always struck me as a very odd scenario, and then had gone on leave but, you know, hadn't resigned his post because he's required to if he runs for county commission to theoretically run against Jeff Bergosh. But, of course, you know, most people look at this and think that he wasn't really – seriously running against Jeff. He was only running to split votes away from Steven Stroberger and make it easier for Jeff to retain a plurality and win re-election by the skin of his teeth. Okay, that's kind of how it looks, right? And I asked the question, well, if he didn't think he was going to win, you know, I mean, he's not returning to his – or he's going to return to his job. He didn't just take a leave of absence. Why wouldn't he quit the job if he really was trying to win? Well, as of yesterday, he has, apparently. Apparently, local media matters. You know, we reported on this, and between Escambia Citizens Watch kind of raising this question, the Facebook page, and me raising this question on the air, Jesse Casey, according to a public records request, has now submitted his resignation. So he's converted from a long-term leave to a resignation because either he or somebody else decided, well, this doesn't look so good. Well, it still doesn't look good, but, you know, it's something. The other part is, and this is very interesting, Justin Smith, who is one of the write-ins. Remember, there's Tyler Alger and Justin Smith. And we kind of speculated that Justin and Jeff Bergosh have a relationship because there are some text messages between them in the dump file, the public redacted one. Well, now somebody has posted on Escambia Citizens Watch one of the, looks like a screen grab from the unredacted file, you know, the one you're not supposed to have because that's the lawsuit, in which Justin Smith is asking for, you know, hey, how do I donate to your campaign back in 2020? And can I get a few signs, you know, to put up in my yard? And, you know, Unless what we're expected to believe is that in the last 4 years, Justin has suddenly converted to being an opponent of Commissioner Burgash. It looks like he's more than an ally. He's a contributor and supporter, at least in the past, which would again fit the narrative of this is being done to close off the election to Democrats and NPAs to, you know, make it easier for Jeff to get reelected. Legal, but not such a good thing ethically.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Homeland Security says it's to keep the American family together. Families of illegal migrants confirming President Biden will take action today to give work permits and a path to legal status for illegal migrants who've been here over 10 years, are married to U.S. citizens. Sweeping new policy covers about 500,000 people here illegally. The parole in place program for those who qualify would keep them from being deported and make a path to citizenship. New figures shared with Fox show ICE agents each expected to oversee 7,000 cases of migrants applying for asylum. Summer solstice comes Thursday afternoon, but some are already setting up a heat dome across the Midwest, Great Lakes, Northeast, and Mid-Atlantic.
With the humidity, it's going to feel, you know, 100 plus. Potential record highs today for D.C., for Syracuse, for Hartford.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 77 degrees this morning in Pensacola. Mayor D.C. Reeves weighing in on the $14.2 million the state of Florida approved towards three major projects.
I think it's a testament to the effort that we've put in advocating for this city. And I say to you guys all the time, in the city of Pensacola, as it pertains to the state of Florida, we have to punch above our weight class. We can't expect that we're going to be treated the same way that Tampa or Orlando or Miami are going to be treated when it comes to Tallahassee.
Last week, the governor signed off on the state budget, which included $7 million for the new Baptist, for the reimagined Baptist Hospital Legacy Campus, $5 million for the Pensacola International Airport Terminal expansion, and $2.2 million to go towards repairing Bay Bluffs Park. Reeves says the airport expansion remains the city's number one priority. Escambia County's District 3 Commissioner now running unopposed for re-election after the primary challenger was disqualified. Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender said the deadline to qualify was noon last Friday, and Republican candidate John Johnson showed up just 11 minutes before that deadline and still had paperwork to fill out.
The qualifying check was a cashier's check, which the state handbook states that it has to be a check drawn on the account and that it cannot be a cashier's check.
Bender says another issue was that the wrong financial disclosure form had been submitted. Bender said Johnson had pre-filed last year, but due to the errors, Commissioner Lumen May now runs unopposed. Well, there is a chance of a tropical depression forming in the Gulf of Mexico.
The system in the Gulf is probably not going to have much impact on South Florida. And the system in the Atlantic, people should watch that, but most likely it'll go north of South Florida based on what we're seeing right now.
National Hurricane Center senior hurricane specialist Jack Bevin, he says people in central eastern Florida and southeast Georgia might see some minor to moderate coastal flooding. At this time of the season, the area most favorable for development is the Gulf and the Western Caribbean. A Tampa Bay congresswoman calling on the federal government to counter what she's calling a cruel law. Democrat Kathy Castor announcing yesterday she's now asked OSHA and the Labor Department to finalize federal workplace protections for heat. This is after Governor DeSantis signed a law banning local governments from enacting their own heat exposure laws for people that work outdoors. Castor now asking OSHA to move forward with finalizing a rule that she said that would protect workers across the country. And the Seminole Tribe with a victory in its effort to control gambling in the state, the U.S. Supreme Court declining to hear a challenge to a 30-year deal the tribe signed with the state. Two paramutual companies had sued to block the deal. The court didn't give a reason for refusing to hear arguments. A Seminole Tribe spokesman says they applaud the decision, and they say it means members of the tribe and Floridians can count on a bright future made possible by the compact. It is 6:35 at News Radio Pensacola. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. It's brought to you by Allstate. Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you. With Allstate, not one based on anyone else. Visit Allstate.com or call for a quote today. No accidents to let you know about, but if you're traveling on Davis Highway between Johnson Road and Olive Road, you're seeing some delays southbound on that. Other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Breezy day today with winds coming in from the east. 40% chance of some scattered showers and thunderstorms. High today near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Wednesday, 30% chance of rain. High near 90. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 78. 50% chance of rain on Thursday with a high near 92. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got 77 degrees in Pensacola. 79 in Gulf Breeze, 75 in Milton. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Travel Perk, a European corporate travel booking platform, has acquired Chicago-based startup Amtrav to help further its expansion in the U.S. To help fund the deal and Travel Perk's broader expansion efforts, the company raised $135 million in debt financing from private equity firms Blackstone and Blue Owl. Leadership said the deal will see the U.S. become the firm's biggest revenue-generating region by 2026. A Chinese official has claimed that Europe's probe into Chinese electric cars was overly selective to the point that the results are not credible. That is because the investigation allegedly only looked at Chinese companies instead of businesses with the largest export volume. The European Commission last week announced plans to impose tariffs of up to 38% on import of Chinese electric vehicles starting on July 4th. Futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Testnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again, at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text ROCK to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text ROCK to 42424. That's ROCK to 42424.
Waiting for a great finance rate on a great Volkswagen? Well, the wait is over. Now at Feedmore Imports, eligible buyers can receive 0% APR for 60 months on the 2024 Volkswagen Taos. This sporty VW Taos S is waiting for you with 0% APR for 60 months or a discounted price of $24,491. And the 2024 Tiguan S discounted to $29,516 or take 2.9% APR for 60 months. The 24 Atlas Cross Sport SE with 2.9% APR for 60 months or a sale price of $36,206. And the Atlas SE with technology, now discounted $2,500 to $41,793 or take 2.9% for 60 months. Great Volkswagens, great rates, and a great family-owned dealership. Feedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate in lieu of discounts and for qualifying credit through VCI. Sale price before tax, title, and associated dealer fees. See dealer for details.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, spend the evening with your neighbors at another gallery night in downtown Pensacola. Come for the art from local vendors, live music, food, and fun. See gallerynightpensacola.org. The Bushlight Fishing Rodeo is this weekend. Check out the action at Flounders Saturday 2 to 7 and Sunday noon to 6. See pensacolasports.org for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
New tornado warning just in effect now for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties.
At any time.
Very, very heavy rain here at the radio station. As a matter of fact, I believe our building is even out of power right now.
When you need to know.
So this is the warned area. Now a tornado warning in effect until 2:03.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
When you need to know.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
640 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. For the last several days at this time, I have been taking you through the training that I was able to observe and participate in at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office Firearms Training Facility. The facility itself has been there. The range has been there for a long time. But they have a brand new shoot house, which is amazing. A two-story setup where the top level is a catwalk where you can observe what's going on down below. Cameras in all kinds of places to capture so that you can use for training purposes what people have done. And then down below, a completely reconfigurable setup so that you can design any scenario for entering houses, clearing rooms, saving hostages, and, you know, shooting or not shooting bad guys as the case justifies. Before you ever get in and actually, you know, use a weapon and, you know, train on the simulated rounds in the simulation, which I did, and I hope we'll have a time to share that today, you go through a pretty extensive safety in brief beforehand, and you make sure that nobody's got any actual bullets and any actual guns inside the range. Again, this is with Lieutenant Drew Kilgren.
So you can see where we're at right now. This is what we consider the safety room. So you can see it's completely disconnected from the rest of the training area. And you can see you got your stairwell going up to the catwalk system. So everyone that comes in here is safety searched with no firearms, no live ammo, no tasers, no pepper sprays. Anything that's alive and could harm someone is removed from that person.
Okay.
This is what we'll do today. Is whenever we get all this running, we're actually going to search you just like everybody else to make sure there's no live ammunition involved in this scenario. So our biggest thing on this is safety. There's no point in doing any of this training if we're not doing it safe, because that's what our ultimate goal is on the road, is to put you in an environment out there and be safe. So we do all our safety inspections in here, get ready, good to go, and then that's when we'll step off into the training area right there.
So part of that safety, and you can hear, that's through a door outside 100 feet away, maybe down the range where they're still, you know, guns are loud. But that's also going on because there was a training class that was going on around the same time, not in this facility, but in another part of the same facility. And, you know, one of the things that they have done is they have converted over from Glocks to the SIG.
You can see laying on the desk here is, this is a ammunition gun. So you can see is exactly, you know, put my live weapon over here. You can see that is my live duty weapon there.
Okay.
And it is pretty much, besides one being a SWAT gun, so it's a little bit more decked out. It is very similar in nature and style. This is a P320. This is a P320. But the difference
that's
between
a Walther?
Sig Sauer.
Sig Sauer, okay.
So everything we're in is Sig now. You can see the munitions.
Is that your standard for the duty?
All the deputies carry this exact gun right here.
Okay, they don't carry Glocks. Didn't they at one time?
At one time we were in Glocks.
Okay, all right.
And I still have a ton of Glocks, and I like Glocks. This weapon system for us is modular. So you can see in the back of this frame here, it says medium. So whenever someone puts their hand on a standard hand, it fits great. But say we run into a shooter that has smaller hands.
Okay.
I can take this whole module off of this frame and the trigger, which is serialized in there, pull it out and drop it in a small. For $30.
Wow.
I can put them in a brand new one. And now the whole grip is actually smaller. It's not that I'm adding a back strap. I'm not doing anything different. So it's very modular for the shooter.
Okay.
We've seen a lot of success in being able to get people to become better shooters.
Comfortable.
Grip is where the number one thing is behind these guns.
And so what he's saying is that the bottom portion of the gun can be customized large, medium, small to the deputy's hand. The reason that matters is because you might think, well, that's just for convenience. No, because grip is everything in accuracy. And if you've got a gun that's the wrong size for your hand, you won't be as accurate. I'll just tell you, I find myself being more accurate with my concealed carry Glock than I am with the full-size Glock 17. And it never occurred to me, might be because of hand size, right? Also, the angle of the handle is a little bit better, he said. And there's a whole bunch of things that SIG has done to make like their gun better than or responsive to concerns raised about Glocks that has made it a much more effective gun. That's why they've converted over to it entirely. So again, grip is important, stance is important, and doing these things habitually is the vital thing to being able to shoot accurately.
If I was to take this gun and put it in a vise in your garage of the house, and I locked it down in place, so that's grip. And I took a piece of a rebar, and I just start hammering away at the trigger, hitting as hard as I want to.
Meaning having terrible technique, right, is what he's getting at. Very, very rough technique with your trigger finger.
And the gun's locked in place in that vise because it can't move. Where's that bullet going to hit? over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Exact same place, right?
Okay.
So that's what our number one thing that we have behind guns is proper grip and alignment.
Okay.
Everything else is going to be second place.
Okay.
I can grip this gun in a really great way, and I can slam that trigger all day long, and as long as I've got good grip and good sight alignment, I'm on the ball every single time. Because it's going to be real hard for me to tell you, which I used to hear when I was a young guy out here, don't slam the trigger, don't snatch the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's some bad guy and he pulls a gun up on you because you just walked into a convenience store and he's going to shoot you, it's going to be really hard for you to consciously decide.
Calm down, go slow.
Not to slam the trigger. But if subconsciously I've always had you develop a good grip on the gun and the gun's really steady, you can slam that trigger all day long, every day, all day, and it's going to hit accurately and consecutively.
And for those of you who don't shoot guns very often, what he's getting at is that when you go to the range and you practice, you learn to do all kinds of things to, you know, slow down your trigger finger and to relax but hold firm and to make sure that you kind of are caught a little bit by surprise when the gun goes off, because that means you're not forcing it and you're not opposing the force. Just all kinds of little things that you do. But, you know, if you go to the convenience store and you're a civilian and you conceal carry and somebody shows up there with a shotgun and all of a sudden you're stressed and freaked out and you're reacting, you're not going to think about all that. You are going to grab the gun and you're going to point and you're going to pull, and you're going to pull badly, most likely. And so what he's saying is, what we can do, though, is we can train you how to grip the gun right. And if you get used to gripping the gun right, it won't matter how you pull the trigger. It'll be effective. And it turns out he's right, because he's the expert, right? So, because I improved my accuracy by doing it his way in just, I mean, a few minutes of practicing. It improved the accuracy dramatically just to grip properly, regardless of whatever else you were doing with the trigger. Also, the kind of, he calls them simmunition. Well, actually, we'll get to this in just a second. John Pickens got traffic for us. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about, but if you're traveling on 9th Avenue between right around Fairfield Drive, northbound, you're going to see some delays right there. We're seeing the delays right there. Other than that, things are flowing smoothly. I-10, I-110. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
All right, thanks so much, John. He also explained about the simmunition. I've got a video I just posted. I'll share it over our news radio feed in just a minute. But the ammunition that we're using is they're a little bit smaller than a regular bullet, and part of that value is that that gun, the simulation gun, cannot have regular rounds in it. Like, you couldn't physically make it work that way. But they're nitrogen powered, so when you pull the trigger, it sends out a little paintball, basically, and you know, and it makes the slide eject and function properly. It feels like a real gun without as much kick, but also without as much noise. Okay, so when I'm running through the house doing the running through the shoot house doing the training, you'll kind of hear that. And then the last thing is, they wanted to work with me on stance, because again, you know, stance and grip are like the keys to whether you're going to be able to accurately use your gun.
Typically, we watch TV, military, old stuff. We were working against our body mechanics for so many years.
Okay.
And you can't help it. You'll watch TV and they got these really bad advisors, and they'll tell these guys on TV to do all this weird, really weird stuff. And I can't reproduce this over and over and over. It's always going to get different. But from my biomechanics, every time I punch out and I'm equal on both sides, I've recreated the exact same stance,
okay,
the exact same grip, the exact same measurement every single time in front of myself, and I'm not having anything unpredictable.
And so what he's getting at there is, and it's, I know it's hard to see because you're not watching something, you're listening, but just kind of walk the way you normally walk, whereas you typically want to kind of almost sidle around and you want to hold a gun standing sideways, and he's like, no, put feet pointed forward, lean forward just a little bit on the balls of your toes, balls of your feet, and hold the gun not down. Don't swing it towards your target, but hold it into your chest, point it at your target, and then all you have to do is push out and pull back, push out and pull back. So the gun is already up, it's on target, and it's a shorter movement. It's safer because you're not extended, but then all you have to do if you come onto a target is extend it. It's all simplicity. And like he says, if you watch movies, you're going to learn all kinds of bad habits. You watch TV, you're going to learn all kinds of, and even, I mean, I got training from experts. And the training I got is, you know, 30 years old, and it's not good. It's not as good as what he was teaching me, because they realized that you're basically training us to work against our bodies and always keep it simple so that in the stressful situation, you do the right thing. All right, so here we go. You ready? I'm going to give you one run through, give you the intro he gave me, the kind of the setup. And I'm, at this point, I'm already stressed because I know I'm not going to be great at this, even though I've somewhat familiar with guns, okay, and I play airsoft, so this is not totally alien to me, but I just know I don't want to look like the dumb radio guy. You know what I mean? I don't want to be that idiot like these guys laughing about later. Oh, my God, this guy, you know, sure, you care about law enforcement, right? I don't want to be that guy, but it's all weird because I'm not used to the setup. I'm not used to the gun. I'm not used to the all of it. But okay, I'm going to give it my best shot because that's what you do.
So it came in, it was shots fired, disturbance, something bad has happened. And you're the first responder, all sitting here by yourself. If you can't handle hearing the screams inside, you know, okay, you need to go solve the problem. So we have to learn what our speed of reaction is. So if I go so fast that I blast in there, is it possible the bad guy shoots me and I don't recognize him before I need to?
Okay.
So we're going to move at a pace that's smooth and efficient to read how much room. You start to get a look at the room. You know that's a big room. So I can move the targets anywhere in there. So you're going to move around that doorway. You're going to pie out around that door. But you're also going to take, if you're traveling there, you're going to take up all the information inside that room from all the way back here.
Okay.
So as you're making an approach, you want to clear as much of that room as possible so that when you come up there, you've only got a little bit to clear once you step through the threshold.
Okay.
All right. And the scenario here is there's a big front room that I'm going to walk into, a center entrance. Okay. So there's room to the left, room to the right, and there's a hallway straight ahead with a bunch of doors. Some are open, some are closed. And what to do. And I'm going to kind of play the actual run through and then do a little bit of the debrief. I don't have time to do the full debrief. But the reason I'm doing this, okay, remember, it's not just a, hey, Andrew got to do a cool thing. The reason I'm doing this is because I know being a cop is hard, but there's levels of knowing that. And what I gained from this experience was even more appreciation for how difficult this part of the job is and all of the complexity and factors and stress and challenge that it's just, it's so much more than you think. You know, you played a video game, you've watched TV, you've played airsoft, and you think, okay, I understand this. You don't. And like, I feel like I'm kind of ahead of most people on this curve, and I still found it overwhelming. And that's why I value what the Escambia County Sheriff's Office is doing to train its deputies, because they didn't used to do all of this. They'd kind of train you a little bit on the gun. You had to qualify on the paper and shoot the target, and then here go. And that was common for police before. And, you know, you had to certify that you could, you know, you had to pass qualifications that you could, you know, hit the dots, you know, hit the circles. But all of this was not really available the same way that it's available now. All right, so here goes, and I'll try to talk you through it if I need to as I'm doing. This is my actual first run through the house.
Smooth. You ain't gotta go too fast.
Coming into the first room.
Good. If you look see left. A bad guy, you can engage him. Good.
First and second bad guy to the right.
Slow down. All right. So what we're looking for now is we know that we've got several open doors down the hallway. All right. So I can go ahead and step into the hallway, but what do you know about the left-hand side right now? Not much, right?
Yeah.
You gotta stick your coconut over there. So if we've got our gun up and we know we've got open door right, and open door right, what am I curious about?
I want to know
how many open doors left do we have?
Well, there's one, two.
So we can transition over here.
Okay.
Moving to the right.
Do we want to deal with the closed door right now, or do we want to deal with the nearest threats that are open?
I would rather go to the open door.
Not really.
Cool. So you start working towards your open doors, and you want to limit your exposure to the others.
Mm, well, I hate this.
Hard, right?
And, of course, you're worried somebody's going to pop out, jump out, catch you while you're going past, trying to figure out what's inside that room that you can't see inside of. Go to the left.
Good.
Bad guy. Come back around, outside, in the hallway. Another bad guy. Lots of bad guys in this house.
Status of your weapon.
Yeah.
There we go.
It's all empty.
Scan up.
Locked open.
Drop that magazine frame, please. Good, you're back up.
This is me being uncomfortable.
What you need to do? You need to tap it and rack it if it doesn't. Okay. Good. All right.
Another bad guy.
My space to clear.
Missed the civilian. That was good.
Good. Work your angles first.
Okay.
Good. And clear. All right. Drop your magazine. Work the action.
To clear it.
Cool. There you go. We're emptying and standing by. All right. You want to walk through it and talk about it real quick?
Yeah.
All right, we'll just get a really quick debrief on it, and then we can do some more stuff.
And all I can tell you is, and I did two more runs after that, but all I can tell you is the debrief, it wasn't just a, you know, hey, here's where you missed, or here's where you didn't really disable. It was, so that guy's down. Is he still got a gun? Is he dead? Is he injured? Is he still a threat? Oh, crap. You know? And is he now needing medical treatment because you shot him? Because if so, maybe you need to stick around and treat him. Like, it's all that kind of stuff. And we'll get to that tomorrow. But I would say for my level of skill, I did okay. But certainly not good. And that's why, you know, if you don't practice this, learn it, train it, make it muscle memory, decision making, all of that stuff, even if you're a police officer, you know, you need to do this a bunch so that you can be good. And that's what they're doing at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Very impressive stuff. Let's see. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about. Seeing some slowdowns if you're going on Bayou and 9th Avenue. Both the north and east directions are flowing. Got some issues there. Other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
And I think part of the reason I'm doing this is because it was an interesting insight into law enforcement, but also just so you can have a little bit more appreciation for what they do and how, you know, maybe the armchair quarterbacking needs just a little bit more caution to it. I'll just put it that way. I'm Andrew McKay.
With the all-new Coke, introducing Coke Spiced. Picture this, the refreshing taste of Coca-Cola. Now with a twist, Coke Spiced takes your favorite soda to a whole new level. So why settle for ordinary when you can experience extraordinary? Enjoy a taste of the spiced side of life with the all-new Coke Spiced. With a delicious burst of raspberry and spiced flavors, grab a bottle of the all-new Coke Spiced today and spice up your life. Coke Spiced, taste the excitement, feel the flavor. Available now at your nearest store. Join the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Look, I know what I like, and I know you know what I like because you were trained to know what I like, but I would like to know what you like. For instance, do you have a favorite food?
Yes.
Good! What is your favorite food?
Whatever food you like.
Good morning, 6:58 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Protesters in Jerusalem near the home of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu are calling for new elections as the war with Hamas continues. Thousands of protesters marched from Israel's Knesset to Netanyahu's home. Some were trying to break through police barriers. Police apparently used a water cannon after somebody had lit a bonfire. At least 9 arrests were reported. And it was a wild scene in Boston outside of the TD Garden yesterday after the Boston Celtics won the team's 18th NBA championship. Fans all over the place, even climbing on light poles.
Did you watch in the game?
No.
It was a total blowout. It was the most boring. I think I watched that game in about 14 seconds on fast forward. Like that, nah, 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 nah. Okay, they're champions. Woohoo!
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620 News.